September, officially start our Heilige Chabura. First of all, we thank the Baruch Shalom for this marvelous welcome that we have here, that we believe it's in the Shemayim, it's a Shkocha Pratis, Hashem gives us, and that we have our precious Chabura people that are interested, that have a Cheshit and Ratzayim. We have to thank Hashem who's ever here. And each person that's here adds Siyata Dishmaya to the whole group. So Hashem is over here tonight. It's Shemayim, and we hope that we should be able to make use of this Matana, this gift from Hashem, and grow in Avodas Hashem and between the Shleimitz, and fulfill the purpose why we're here in this world, says Hashem. Okay, so last week, again, we were doing something which I think Olam here would agree with me, that it is something unusual, that this Ugda is not something that's such a common thing. I would say that's putting it mildly, understatement. That, I mean, you don't hear people making like a whole ASIC about Noah, right? And they talk about Abram, others, but Noah, and that was the point that I wanted to bring out, that I think that in fact, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu puts Noah into the Chumash, so he wants us to relate. He wants us to relate. He tells us, who tells about Noah? Hashem. And he said he's a tzaddik. That he lived in a generation of wickedness. And he was able to overcome it, and Hashem wanted us to know about it, and we should relate to it, right? Relate to it. So I think we're doing the right thing, right? The right thing. And I think that we can all walk around, with a button, a badge of honor, that we're doing something unique. I think that very few individuals in the world today, in the whole world, are doing connecting with Noah, fulfilling the will of Hashem. I had an interesting thought to share with you. Before we go on, I just want to ask you, Yaakov, you have something you want to share with us? Some thoughts that you have?
I thought it would be a little bit difficult to win. I had a few, three or four times in the beginning, I had the sense that I was going to relate to it.
What about you?
It's difficult to not cross the line into being the catchers and people. I was finding things that annoyed me. People annoyed me, but that's not really the point. It should be anything that someone's doing wrong. If I see someone else come late to shul, that should be, even if it doesn't annoy me.
Does someone say to get more clearly?
So I was noticing that the things that I noticed were the things that people did something to me or annoyed me. But that wasn't really the point, right?
No, I think maybe that is the point. They're annoying you, well, probably because you felt they're doing the wrong thing. They're annoying you, but not them. They were doing something wrong to annoy you.
Right, but there's things that are wrong that don't annoy me, like just someone's mavakotera, their own, or they're coming
late. Okay, the annoyance doesn't have to be the sole criteria. Because if you see something intrinsically that's wrong, so it doesn't have to annoy you. In other words, it works like this, that things that are not beseder don't have to annoy you, to recognize that it's no good. There's certain things that you don't recognize that it doesn't look like it's not good until it annoys you. In other words, the reason why it came to your attention because it's annoying you. Yeah. Like this, maybe you wouldn't have realized that that's not right. But since it annoys you, that brings it to your attention that that's not right. But the annoyance is not the koyveya, whether it's right or wrong, right?
Yeah.
But through annoyance, you can open up your eyes, realize that it's not peseder, right?
Yeah, have, yeah.
But in the laws of logic, that does not mean that annoyance has to be your presence in order to see that it's not peseder, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but anyway, this activity of realizing, oh, here's the work, this activity of realizing that something is wrong, I think it's good, you know, to crystallize. What do you think of using your word, I'm sure that, you know, the appetite to have an ice cream cold drink added to your Hashem. We're discussing how you upped the ones last week.
Apparently, I wasn't here last week. So.
But the main could help is that he did something very unusual kind of thing that probably were unique in the whole Israel, that did such a thing. We try to focus on Noah, something like Noah seems to be overlooked. We try to understand his greatness, but to realize his ability to stand up to the weaknesses of the Torah. This activity of crystallizing things are not the same, realizing it and trying to keep away from things that's good. Okay, but Moshe, what do you have to say?
I thought about more than the Averroes. I thought about Noah a number of times, just him as a character. And I mean, you're right, he kind of gets sloughed under the rug a little bit, but he, Lemaisa, he was had the exclusive of saving the world. It was thinking about, and then obviously dealing with all the stuff he had to deal with. It was that was interesting.
Okay, but was it just a quick
view? Kesher with Noah, is that talking about duration, deny that the whole thing, that we're going to raise people, try to find that's the whole thing, that's the process? I wasn't for sure, I didn't understand well last week, but the idea of taking Noah, the Chachamim, the way they're Dorish Noah, that's the issue. And they're Dorish Ish, the Dorish, the Noah, the Dorish, the Shva, that's the whole, that's our Amorah, sort of, like, the Dorish.
So, let me thank you what I meant with that. I just meant that most people, if they talk about Noah, they should preoccupy themselves with that machlokes, try to understand the Doros of, not Doros of. I meant just to say is that, I meant to bring out that I think that the major part is just going into that machlokes, they overlook. Maybe the most important part is that going into Noah himself and he's descending and understanding, you know, his greatness. Like I said, you know, I think that the preoccupation with studying Noah, it revolves around, you know, the Rosa, not the Rosa. No, I was saying that I don't want to talk about that. I want to. That's not the aspect that I want to go into. That everybody goes by doing that. I think that they want to be yaitzer, you know, studying Noah. The point that we have to delve into Noah himself. Forget about that machlek. Of course, you can deal with it, but let's go into Noah objectively by himself and appreciate his greatness. He was able to stand up to be able to withstand the infinite of that door, such a wicked door in every way, and the money with his boys and his goods, and try to appreciate his greatness of what he did, which I don't know people. Focus on this aspect. round and round. Okay, Rabbi said, it's very late. I want to get down to the Avodah Zarah. No, I just want to just say it very quickly. Interesting point that one say, first of all, I know that he was able to deal with the wickedness and the bad parts of the generation and to withstand that. So, it's an interesting thing. Does anybody over here remember where Noah got his name from? What the significance of his name is? Anybody remember? Okay. So what you're saying, that would be the logical place of name of Noah, cultivation, right? Another word also, translation, comfort, but comfort in the morning, it goes to you, whatever it is, you know? But that's not what the name of Rashi says, that if it would be that, so it would be a different pronunciation of his name. It's an interesting thing, Rashi says that his name comes from, because of the curse of the kingdom on the earth, because of Adam, so, thorns. Thorns and bristles came up on the earth, on this land, which was very annoying, thorns. And Noah invented a certain kind of a tool to get rid of the thorns. That's what Rashi said. Look at Rashi. He said, that name comes from how it works out, the dictum, but he invented a certain tool that to get rid of the thorns, you know. So, first of all, I think he did so many things. Such a great person. He saved the world. He made the teva. So that's what they know of, the inventor of the thorn cutter, you know. Like, it's so, like, apropos, the person is so great, that's what his name is, he invented the thorn cutter. Like, it's so insignificant when you think of the greatness of a person, the thorn, he invented the thorn cutter, it sounds almost like it's a joke, like you're saying it like sarcastically, something, like you don't really mean it, like a scenario, silly scenario, But so I'm thinking that, according to what you're saying, that was his life, dealing with the bad things and trying to cut away the vicious, So it's very, very symbolic, that's what he did. He invented, cutting thorns away, the thorns of the generation. That's what he did. So I thought that name, use your name is befitting for what a person does. So I put that light, not just a good word, it could be a very seriously that name is very matim for him, because he was a thorn cutter. Representing the thought of the generation, and he invented a tool to get rid of the thorns. His name. Okay, I'm not recording, so I'm traveling. I want to talk about Avram tonight. So, why do we want to understand Avram Avinu? This is because we want to understand Klal Yisrael. We want to understand Klal Yisrael. Whenever you have to have a group. So, whatever the group is, team, group, they stand for certain one thing crystallized that they stand for. And And in order to appreciate that group, you have to know the founder that made the group, what he had in mind, and then you know what the answer is. There's a lot of things, many different things, but what's the punchline? What's the exact proof of what Klal Yisrael is? You know, we can find out what that is from knowing what Avraham Avinu was, what his main ideal was, and he created Christ, so he made a bond, like we have tonight, and he made a bond, a group, which represented his idea, and that eventually came out to be Klal Yisrael. So in order to appreciate Klal Yisrael, so you have to appreciate Avraham Avinu, right? Very quick example. Let's say you have a group of doctors, clinicians, they made a club because for medical reasons, they share medical ideas and stuff. Then they want to go away for a vacation. So, you know, they can go away with the garbage cleaning and, you know, people that pack monetary. But, you know, it's more fun to go away with the doctors because they're at the same intelligence level. So they share, you know, they can enjoy themselves together. So they went away. So they're playing basketball now, you know. So you see a team. So you say, what is this? It's a basketball team. No, it's not a basketball team. It's factors. The thing that unifies them together is not what they're doing. It's a group of physicians, but they're playing basketball. You always want to know what's the unifying force of a group, no matter what their preoccupation is, what they're doing now, but what's in the kudu, the essence. So we have to understand Avraham Avinu, by sight. Avraham Avinu, he stood for two things. He was a searcher, right? We speak about this in the Biblia, that Avraham Avinu, his main preoccupation was he was searching, looking for Hashem, searching. Hashem, where are you? Where are you, Hashem? He's a searcher. Second, and he gave it over to Klal Yisrael. We're always searching, we're always looking for the truth under all circumstances, in Golis, in Spain, wherever we are. Klal Yisrael is always looking for the image. You know, we undress, we don't rest. Always looking, where's the truth? Where's the image? So that was admirable, and that's what we are, you know, because he made us, and that was his ideal. And then he had another ideal, chesed, right? Avraham Avinu was stood for chesed. And that's Klal Yisrael also, who stood for chesed. It sounds like two different ideals of it, like searching and chesed, but I had an idea of how to put it together, synthesize them together, you know, merge them together. That he's searching, he's looking for Hashem all the time. And the God that he found was Hashem who reveals himself in this world in the form of a Baal Chesed. Hashem was Megala himself into this world as Chesed, Baal Chesed, the main attribute, excuse me, of how he manifests himself in this world. So searching for Hashem Chesed, searching Hashem Chesed. So it's really like one thing together, you know, both these attributes. That it's like Shnei Tamidim Kil Chasam, like his search brought him to constantly Chesed. So it's like almost one thing together, the search and the Chesed. Okay, anyway, it's an interesting concept, Rabbi said. But because the God he was searching for Hashem, and the God that he discovered was the God of Chesed. And Hashem showed himself in this world mainly as Chesed. So wherever he found Hashem, he found Chesed. And he understood, since Hashem revealed himself in this way, So Hashem did this, we should emulate him. You know, Achmed Rachel, Hashem wanted us to emulate him in this way. So that's the way we can understand. And that was Kleisdell also, with searches and Chesed. Rav Miller in Sefer enumerates, you know, in the typical European town, all the groups, and this way it was all over, all the towns and even the Spanish country, like different societies, that whole groups that there were Isaac and Chesed. You know, you had the bridal, you know, society, you know, and then there was a society from that they raised money, you should have shoes and clothing, and then you had for Sasan and Kalis. Yeah, we said that already, and then Yisoyimim and Almonos, and you know, one after another, as I say, different groups that influenced the whole society. So the Chesed and Klai Yisrael, you know, it's like phenomenal. You can't imagine it. And all our Gedolim, our great leaders, that there are always so many stories about how great they were in Torah. But for every story for Torah, there's a story for their Chesed, our great leaders, the Chaim Brisk, who was a giant in Chesed. You know, and all our leaders were very exceptional, you know, in Chesed. I was late now, I can't go into tell stories. So basically, I wanted to suggest as an Uvda, Avraham Avinu, his start was discovering Hashem. How did he discover Hashem? You know, through the life that Hashem was giving him. He saw Hashem, the life. No, Hashem is giving him life. He's giving him sustenance. Here is Hashem. He's able to see Hashem during the course of the day, you know, of the life that Hashem was giving him. He saw Hashem. So I wanted to suggest this a little bit. There are four things that we do during the day, you know, that we should use these four things, like Avraham Avinu did, to see Hashem. Number one, once a day, when you take a breath, a deep breath, you should think, I'm taking this breath, you know, and Hashem, you're giving me this breath, you're giving me this life, the oxygen, my heart is beating, you're giving me this life. Number one. Number two, once a day when you're eating, stop and think that, Hashem, you're giving me this fuel, right? Number two. Number three, Hashem, you're giving me shelter. When you walk into some shelter, say, Hashem, you're giving me this shelter. And number four, Rabbi Sai, when you put on your clothing, when you're wearing your clothing once a day, think, Hashem, here you are, you're giving me my clothing, okay? Breath, and food, and shelter, and clothing. Okay, everybody say, once a day, think, like Avraham Avinu, here's Hashem, I'm discovering Hashem. Here you are, providing me with my shelter, and my food, right? And my oxygen. Okay, everybody say, I'm going to run now, when I try to make the bus, okay? So you all have a tzlacha, bracha, everybody say. You have a lot of things to thank Hashem for, see Hashem. Have health, and have a body.